This is the Pete Ridley Show podcast. Good to be back with you. Coming up today, the Boston Red Sox. Did we predict this or what? And how about a limit on the number of heart-stopping moments in this playoff series? Also, a look at what's going on in this world and a new feature that we've started at PeteBridley.com. First, the Red Sox. If we go back to a previous podcast, let's see what I said in March. Bring on the baseball season. The Red Sox open the season Thursday in Tampa. All right, Pete's pick. I think it's going to be a good year for the Red Sox. I predict a good year for Andrew Benintendi. J.D. Martinez should do what he's been hired for. And I feel like the pitching staff should have a good year. I predict the Sox will make the playoffs. And I predict they will win the American League East. So not bad. Of course, the pitching staff and especially the bullpen gave us a few things to worry about. How about JBJ in the playoffs?
Swinging a high drive to right field. Reddick going back. Back to the warning track. This ball is going, and it is gone! A grand slam for Jackie Bradley Jr.
How many games were there this season when we thought JBJ just didn't have it? And if it wasn't for that gold glove in the outfield, we would have sat him down. Some more excitement in Game 4.
Playing a line drive left field. Benintendi coming on, dives, and did he make the catch? He did! He got it! The Red Sox win!
The Red Sox win.
As I just went head over heels in my chair.
Joe just fell down. Oh,
wow. How many of us could relate to Joe Castiglione falling off his chair calling that catch? I predicted the Red Sox would win this series against Houston, but I predicted it would take all seven. Let's see how that plays out. There's been a lot of talk on social media about the announcers, Brian Anderson and Ron Darling on TBS. Now, I'll admit that I think they're a bit monotone, but as I told my wife and some friends, they do say good things about Houston, but they say good things about the Red Sox, too. I know many people thinking that they're homers and only saying good things about the Astros, but I think it's because we're not used to hearing good things said about the other team. We're used to our home announcers, right? Dave O'Brien, Eckersley, Joe Castiglione, and Tim Nepert. We're not used to hearing good things about the other team, but that's what you have to do when you're trying to be impartial. But don't worry, Joe Buck will have the World Series, and of course, everybody hates Joe Buck because he always roots for the other team. Something new that we're doing on PeteBridley.com is Motivation Monday. Our blog has gone to a theme every day. We have Motivation Monday, we have Tasty Tuesday, and then it's the world through my beagle's eyes. As Oscar takes over the blog on Wednesdays, it's Woof Wednesday. Throwback Thursday is when we go into the archives and we find an article or a column that we wrote maybe for the Standard Times that I think is worth sharing again. For those that don't know, I was let go by the Standard Times in September. I was told it was strictly a budget cut as the newspaper industry goes through a very difficult time here. So they let a lot of the part-time freelance writers, they let us go in August and September. But I'm still writing just about every day. And I do have a Sunday column every week that you can find at PeteBridley.com. Something new on the website is Motivation Monday. That's where we take famous quotes that I either read, you know, in one of the books that I read, or I see on Pinterest, or I see on Twitter, or some other site. And we kind of spend the whole article, or the whole blog, examining that thought for the day and how it might be used to help us, help you, help me. The quote I came across recently was this one. If you're searching for that one person who will change your life, look in the mirror. If you're searching for that one person who will change your life, look in the mirror. Now, I'll admit that I have read plenty of self-help books and I've listened to plenty of positive thinking gurus. And I guess part of me always thought that, you know, if I read this book, I'll find the answer. I've read Norman Vincent Peale, Wayne Dyer, Dale Carnegie, many others, and I've watched videos on YouTube, videos by Tony Robbins, and plenty of TED Talks. I'm sure you've seen the titles on the books, The Power of Positive Thinking, Think and Grow Rich, You Can If You Think You Can, and Stop Worrying and Start Living. How many times have we read the book, maybe highlighting the parts that we wanted to remember, and we thought, when I finish this book, I'll have the answers, and my life will change? I was thinking the other day, if that was true, why do we need more than one book? Wouldn't one be the answer? Did you ever notice how big the self-help section is in a bookstore? Only you can change your life. Tony Robbins or Norman Vincent Peale, they might have some good advice, but nothing's going to work until you make the change. Now, why don't we? They all have good information and some proven tactics, but I know, at least in my case, many times, we don't really want to change. We keep looking for better results, but insist on living the same way. And isn't that the definition of insanity? When you keep doing things the same way over and over, but expect different results? So what is it that you need to change? Would you like to wake up earlier each morning? Do you want to exercise more? Do you want to surround yourself with better quality people? Do you want to learn more? Do you want to eat healthy? You want to quit smoking or drop bad habits? It won't happen until you stop talking about it or dreaming about it and actually start doing it. If you want to eat better, put the chips away. If you want to get up earlier, stop hitting the snooze alarm. You have to make the change. Now, I know making a change is hard. Your subconscious will try to talk you out of it. It's like those old cartoons, you know, where the sitcoms where the guy has an angel on one shoulder and the devil's on the other. And the devil really tries to talk him out of it. Tony Robbins is not going to change your life. Norman Vincent Peale and Wayne Dyer, they wrote some terrific stuff, but even they can't do it. Did people turn their life around after reading these books? Maybe. I won't say it's never been done. But only if they actually did the work. So, look in the mirror. That's the person who can make things happen. I'm standing with the man in the mirror. You knew I was going to play that, didn't you? I'm asking him to change his way. So, get busy, get going. Also on the podcast this week, we have to ask, what's going on in this country? Now, I know that's a wide-open question, but I bring it up this week in reference to racism. I see these stories on the news, and I just can't believe what's going on and what some people have to put up with. I'm talking about the story, the latest story, about that black man who arrived at the entrance to the building where he lives in St. Louis late Friday night, only to find himself blocked by a white neighbor who demanded proof that he lived there.
Okay, what unit?
I don't need to tell you that information. So excuse me, ma'am. I need you to move out of my way, please. I live here and you're blocking the door.
What unit?
I don't need to tell you that. What unit do you live in?
307.
Okay, great. I'm on the fourth floor. Excuse me.
No.
Ma'am, you're not security. You're not the property manager. You're not Mike Herman.
No, but I live here.
Okay, and I live here too. You're not Mike Herman. You're not Rick.
I don't like the fact you have your phone in my face.
Okay, I don't like the fact that you're blocking me for where I pay.
All I'm asking is what unit.
But you're not, I don't need to tell you that information, ma'am.
If you want to come into my building.
It's not your building. You're not the owner.
Darian Toles is the man, but the woman, who is Hillary Brooke Mueller, refused to move as she continued to ask Mr. Toles what unit he lived in and to see his key fob. Now, true, the whole thing probably could have ended if he had just told her or showed her the key fob, but does he have to? Is he required to? Mr. Toles posted the video on his Facebook page on Saturday, and they quickly spread through social media, where, of course, the then unidentified woman was given a name. She's now referred to as Apartment Patty. Over the weekend, this is last weekend, Mrs. Mueller's employee, Tribeca STL, which manages real estate in another part of the city, not that building, said in a statement on its website that it had reviewed the video and fired her. Tribeca does not own the building where Mr. Toles and Ms. Mueller live, but they fired her. She has since come out and said she was just doing what they ask you to do. They ask everyone in that apartment complex to keep their eye open and to make sure it's a safe community. But did she go too far? There have just been so many cases of students falling asleep at a college in a common area. They went to that school, but was it because they were black? The police were called. There have just been cases after cases of this happening in the country. And you have to wonder why we're hearing so much about it. I think part of it is because we're all walking around with cameras now in our pocket. And we can film these things right away and we can share them on Facebook or Twitter so fast and they're seen by so many. I'm sure things like this have been going on for years, but they didn't go viral. What does this say about us, though? I was especially upset with the man, the young black man who was babysitting two white children. And a woman called police on him. That was his business. He was watching these kids with the permission of their parents. That one was called being guilty of babysitting while black. Where does it end? Couple of other notes for my Oak Island fans. I know there's plenty of them too. November 13th. November 13th, the show is coming back. The Curse of Oak Island. And from the previews that we've seen this year, either A, they actually find something, or B, they're very creative with their trailers and promos. November 13th, we'll see as the Curse of Oak Island comes back for another season. And one other note that has to do with high school football. Malden High School, who hasn't won a game this year, was scheduled to play Everett High School on October 19th. They haven't lost a game this year, but now they won't be playing. Malden officials decided to forfeit the game. Malden High School principal Chris Mastrangelo told WBZ-TV4 that he was disappointed that they had to call off the game with their neighbor and their rival. During the course of the season, he said, "Our numbers diminished due to injuries. We've gotten ourselves down to the point where we have 39 active players, and 22 of those are freshmen." Yeah, so that's freshmen going up against seniors. Malden School Superintendent John O'Terry said the decision was disappointing but necessary, given that it's our neighbor and longtime rival, but it really boiled down to the safety of the student athletes. Those two schools have been playing each other since 1893. Is this a foreshadow of what's coming? As fewer and fewer kids are going out for football because of maybe the concussion threat and CTEs, or they're just going to other sports, playing more soccer or going to track instead of the pressure or the pounding of football. I wonder what this means for the future of high school football. Great to be back with you for the Pete Braley Podcast. Love to hear from you, too. You can reach out and email us. It's braley.pete@gmail.com. braley.pete@gmail.com. We write and blog just about every day at petebraley.com. And I promise it won't be a long wait this time before we're back with the podcast. Until then, take care.